Morning, everyone. I want to thank you, and you'll probably be thanked many times over the course of this service, but for all just the help and support that you've given the team. Eight of us went over to Uganda to plant a church, but we went with your support behind us and thinking of you all the way. And of course, we know that you were here at home praying for us as well. So again, just thank you so very much for all that you did so that eight of us could go and experience a church plant in Uganda. But I wanted to, we're going to talk about the trip mostly today, but I wanted to give you a quick summary of the kinds of things we've been doing in Uganda since 1998. Just as, because I know some of you here are probably not familiar with the scope of the work that we've been doing. Planet started planting churches in 1998 with the first trip to Uganda. The first church is Bulalelo. We might see a picture of that here in a minute. And then we've been planting churches ever since then, typically one a year, but sometimes twice a year in country. And since that time, we've probably planted something on the order of 18 churches, either as a church or in partnership with some of the other churches that we've invited to go along with us. The person who had this whole vision was Pastor Morris Oginga, who has been the bishop of the Eastern Presbytery in Uganda for many years. He kind of coordinates the work that goes on over there. Pastor Oginga's vision was to plant 200 churches in each of three different countries. The countries he was most concerned about were Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. So we're Eastern Uganda, Western Kenya, Northern Tanzania. So there's kind of a triple junction there that they were interested in. He was interested in evangelizing. Well, this is kind of where what's happened. In 1982, they opened up the Uganda with the Mbali Church, Pastor Morris's church, in 1982. In 2003, Western Kenya was opened to the work. Grace Community Bible Church was there with a small team in Eldoret. And then in 2008, in Moshi, we opened up the work in northern Tanzania. So the work has been going strong. To date, we have 98 churches planted in 30 years, 90 of those in the last 14 years, and then six churches this year in 2012. So you can see the work is continuing well on the way to the vision that God had given Pastor Oginga. We have a lot of partners in mission. A lot of loose confederation of churches and ministries have joined with Pastor Oginga over the years. Two in Uganda, the Kampala Presbyterian Church in the capital of Uganda, and that church is the one who planted the Mbali Presbyterian Church that Morris leads. But we have a number of churches that have been involved in the work from over in the U.S. We have one from Hawaii, two from California, six from Colorado, two from Oklahoma, and 12 from Texas. And you can see sort of the list. There's Bible churches, Presbyterian churches, Baptist churches, Global Missions Fellowship, GMF, Biola University sent a team one year. It's not just one denomination. It's a group of people who have a heart to share the gospel of Jesus Christ overseas. And that's what we've been doing, planting Presbyterian and community churches in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. It's really about growth and involvement of the family, engagement of the body of Jesus Christ. Global Missions Fellowship sort of started us off. They were kind of Grace's parent in ministry, and we're the kind of their child. We took up the ministry being introduced to it by them. Well, Grace itself has introduced people to the ministry. Midland Bible Church, Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church. There are children in ministry, and as the time has gone on, we've seen grandchildren and great-grandchildren in ministry as more and more churches get invited to be involved. The other thing that we've seen during our ministry is that we go and plant churches. That changes people's lives. A lot of these people who have trusted in Jesus Christ decide that they want to go into the ministry. They want to be pastors. And they go to seminary, and they come back around in following years, they're actually the pastors of the churches we're planting, where previously, maybe a few years before, they had been the ones at the church plant trusting in Jesus Christ. So we're seeing that come back around, and it's a great feeling to know that, see how God works in the body. Just a few statistics. Since 1998, we've trained about 150-plus short-term missionaries, and between ourselves and with some of our partners in ministry, planted 18 churches in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And, of course, thousands have trusted in Jesus Christ. And you add our partners in missions onto that, and You can see 500 plus short-term missionaries, 60 plus churches. The work continues to go on, and it's fun to be a part of that, as you'll see the rest of the service. This is just a list of the churches that we've planted. The Bulalelo Church was the first one, is pictured there as it exists today. And Pastor David, the middle picture there, is started off as the pastor there. He's still the pastor at Bulalelo. So lots going on. As you can see, a lot of work that we have been involved in, but there's been a lot of other churches in the ministry as well. And of course, this year's plant is pronounced Marichetti. You can see the church building there, and then the team is sitting there with surrounding Pastor Morse on the left and Pastor Ben, the pastor of this new church, on the right. As the ministry there is multifaceted, we've talked a lot about church planting. That's where Grace's heart has been. But there are a lot of other ministries there that we've been involved in as well, as you may know. The Lawanda Children's Home, we've been a big supporter of that over the years. The Grace International Children's Foundation. The Covenant Bible Institute of Theology, we've helped with the Bible College for a number of years. We've helped train a few pastors. Probably we'll get more involved in that as time goes on. The Covenant Water Drilling Program, they've just got a new rig, so they'll be doing more work there. And then, of course, there's other ministries like Covenant Primary School and the I Choose You campaign and things of that sort, ministry. Just some pictures of Lawanda Children's Home, opened in 2005. It has 99 kids currently resident, and some of the older kids, the ones who came originally, are now in boarding school and in boarding and secondary school. Covenant Bible Institute of Theology, there's a lot of work to do there. You'll hear more about that in the testimonies today. And then a picture of the latest water well and the first water well that we drilled at Apicoro, and the excitement that that brought. So there's a lot of things God has given Grace the opportunity to be a part of. You're going to hear a lot about the church plant and some things that we did through the rest of this service. So thank you.
For y'all that don't know me, my name is Scott. And I'm going to start off, since I'm the first one up here this morning, with just some general information and guidelines and a few keywords that will come in handy this morning. Most of you probably know, but just in case you don't, if you hear the phrase, God is good, your response is all the time. Very good. Already lost my place. That's pretty quick, huh? Later on, after we have some testimonies, we're going to ask you to join us for recess. So we have that to look forward to later on. Next, we're going to hear lots of stories this morning, lots of testimony, lots of cool things. There's no way that we can hear all the stories of everything that happened. And there were some lighter things, some kind of funny things that happened. And so if you want to hear those stories, I have some hints that you can remember so that when you see somebody on the team, you just bring up the phrase, and then when they stop laughing, they can tell you the story. So some of these hints are outhouse karate. Lost my place again. Recess. The fat Mzungu, need for head protection, and I forget the one Paul said, what'd you say, brown bottom?
Brown bottom Mzungu.
Brown bottom Mzungu. Okay, so if you see one of us walking around, those are your keywords and phrases to hear a story that goes along with them. This is my fifth trip to East Africa, and each trip I go is always amazing. It's just great to see what God does. He's faithful, and he always just does amazing things. And I was thinking the main thing from this time, especially for some reason, but from all the times, it's a great reminder, and it's just amazing to see that God has a plan. And he has a plan for the team as a whole. We go and we plant a church. He has a plan for us as individuals. God plans the people that we're going to meet. We flew thousands and thousands of miles, and God had handpicked those people that when we're walking down the trail or we're walking through a little market, he handpicked those people that we as individuals were going to sit down and talk to. And I know this because the people that I talked to, many, many of them, there was some circumstance in their life that I shared in my life. And when we sat down to talk and I shared the gospel with them and they asked the questions, I could relate to where they were coming from, and they understood I had lived through those things, and they could relate where I was coming from. And it happened too many times for anybody to say, oh, that's just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's God. It's His plan. It's His working. It's the way that He does things. He has a plan, and He has an individual plan for us. He had these people for us to meet, and the really wonderful thing is when you sit down and you're sharing, and you're using God's word to share the gospel. We were just talking upstairs in youth. God's word comes with power. We were talking upstairs in youth that it's a double-edged sword, and it just cuts to the quick. And to see this happen right before your eyes is the most wonderful thing. When you share the gospel and somebody hears the truth, and it opens their eyes and their hearts, and you can just see it. You can see their eyes go wide. You can see the burden lift off their shoulders, and it's just wonderful. But also, when they ask questions, and you can use God's word to respond to their questions, and it's not saying, it's not Scott says, or it's not Paul says, or it's not I heard somebody say this. You have the Bible in your hand, and you can open it and show them and say, God says. Here's the answer to your question. God says. And that's just God's word coming with power. And He planned for that to happen. But He doesn't just plan for that to happen when we fly thousands and thousands of miles to Uganda. God's word is not just powerful in Uganda. God's word is powerful wherever God's word is spoken. So when we're home, God's word is powerful. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, God's word is powerful. Whether it's at school, at work, your neighbor, somebody that just some stranger you meet walking down the street, somebody in line at the grocery store. It's our privilege, our obligation, and our blessing to be ready, to be praying and asking God for these opportunities, to be praying to ask Him to help us recognize these opportunities, and to be praying and asking Him for the strength and the courage and the boldness to use His word, that He would give us His word to share with the people that He plans, that He handpicks to put in front of us to share His love with. God is good.
All right, my name is Rachel Grindstaff. Hi, everybody. This was my first time going to East Africa with Grace, and I want to share with you two of my favorite things about the trip. And the first one is hut-to-hut ministry. As we plant the church, how we do that is that we each of us goes out with a Ugandan translator that knows the local language, and we just go down the road near the church, the new church building that's been built, and go into people's homes and start sharing the gospel with them. And that was really scary for me to do. I was really afraid about approaching strangers with the gospel and maybe not knowing the answer to a hard question that they might ask me. And I want to read you 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. It says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So on this trip, God reminded me that He is the one who saves people, and my job in evangelism is just to plant the seeds. And He also taught me another lesson about trusting Him instead of worrying about what might happen. Again, I'm challenged to start conversations with people, even with strangers, and see if God gives an opportunity for the gospel. And instead of waiting around to learn the answers to the hard questions, I can share what I do know now, and that is the Bible's bad news and good news. And God is more than able to put me in the path of people who need to hear that, who need to hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So then another favorite part of this trip was the fellowship with the other team members. And I was the only teenager on the trip, and having 12 days to live with these really mature Christians was a big privilege. All of them have obeyed what the Bible says in real hard life circumstances, and it was just really good to be able to sit under their wisdom and learn from their stories. So if what you see and hear this morning makes you want to go to Uganda, please start praying about it today, and know that God is bigger than your fears if you're afraid about it. He can even use your weakness and much trembling like he did with me. God is good. Amen.
Good morning. Pete Palermo. This has been my 11th trip to East Africa. And I know that several years ago when somebody asked me to pray about going, I started trying to convince God that there was other people better than me that could go, because I didn't feel like I was the qualified type of person to go. But his quiet invitation, him kept tapping me on the shoulder saying, "You can go." So I said, "Okay." I didn't understand why he would want me to go. I just didn't feel like I was the right one. But he finally got it through my thick head that, you know, all I got to do is trust him. He'll take care of the rest. And the result of that is now coming back, I have more boldness and courage to share God's love with other people. And that's one of the life changes that's been going on. As you know, this year we had just 8 people on the team. And so when we got there, Morris had arranged for several other pastors and elders from previous church plants to come in and work with us to help canvass the area. And I got to tell you, that was a real special time for me, because having seen these guys over the years, I had so many come up to me and say, "Do you remember when Grace Community Bible Church came and planted this church?" Or came and planted, you know, they say, and I trusted Christ then. And I became an elder. I went to seminary, and now I'm a pastor at this other church. And I had so many come up and wanted me to tell y'all thank you for all the church planting and the work that's been going on, because it was repeated again and again during the week as I was being reunited with these other pastors and elders. It was somewhat like a family reunion to see these guys so appreciative for what we have been doing over there. And they send you their greetings and appreciation and thank you for all the work that this church has been doing there. And things like been alluded to earlier, we would pair up with the translators and we would hit the trails. And it was a little rainier, so it wasn't as dusty this year as some other times. Anyway, we would canvass the area and meet all kinds of people. They would have good questions. We'd talk. Sometimes we'd go to schools, prisons. The schools, the kids are so obedient and so quiet. You could have hundreds of kids, and I mean, just hundreds of kids in a classroom or an outdoor setting, and they are quiet. There's no excess noise. So when you're talking, it's heard. They're so obedient when they're listening. And so many of them trust Christ. And then when you go to prisons, those guys are real quiet. And you tell them of the freedom of Christ and see their response to that freedom that Christ offers. It's a wonderful time there. I'd like to share a little poem that God gave me a few years ago when I was there in Uganda that kind of gives an overview. "Long ago we decided, when we heard his voice, to Uganda we're going. That was our choice. Helped by family and friends in our hometown to walk on dirt trails for lost souls to be found. Conversing with many, that was our wish. Learning several approaches to help us fish. Many days in our journal, meditation and prayer. Packing all of that luggage with the greatest of care.
putting on the full armor that comes straight from God, so that on Satan's ground we could now trod, pairing up with translators as we sat on the pews, then off to dirt trails to share God's good news. To other places we traveled and had a few trials, to schools and to prisons, on dirt roads for miles. Yes, God blessed his work, and he saw our heart. We were willing to serve whatever our part. Of his love we did share, so that others could know, and he built up our faith, causing us to grow. We came to Uganda, such a beautiful place. Yet God wanted us to look him in the face. Let's keep looking to God and to his son. So when we see him, he'll say, well done. God is good.
Good morning. My name is Pam, if you don't know me. And this was my first trip to Uganda. I have seen the wonder-working power of the blood of the Lamb in the land of Uganda. And I have seen God's majesty, the power of his word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Although we received great training prior to the trip, I did not feel particularly qualified to go and spread the gospel in a foreign land. I felt outside my comfort zone. I'm pretty busy here doing things, and I'm very fortunate to do that, Awana, Parents Night Out, Sunday School. But I have to say, usually my job is to put other people in those places to share the gospel with the children. And I don't have great speaking skills and not a lot of Bible school. I don't have a degree from a Bible school. But I'll tell you, I do have a willing heart. I was eager to go, and I wanted the Lord to use me here or there as he saw fit. And I trusted him, as I do now, to help to accomplish his good works, in spite of my lack of ability and my weaknesses. And the Lord did use us to share the gospel and our testimonies with many people who had little or no previous interaction with fair-skinned people or people who spoke American English. I was weak in knowledge and speaking skills, but God was all-powerful and all-sufficient to accomplish his good purposes. In my weakness, God is very strong. As Rachel said, 1 Corinthians 2, 3-5, we went in fear and trembling, but it was God's words and God's wisdom and the demonstration of his power and his spirit, and not on the wisdom of man, but on the power of the Lord. I discovered that God could use my life story and my attempts to share the gospel using the truth of his word as a tool and a sword to bring people to trust in Jesus for salvation. As I went from hut to sit with moms, dads, children, grandparents in the remote villages, I looked into the eyes of the people, and God gave me a great love for them and a passion for them to know and trust the risen Lord. God is so gracious to use our trials, our difficulties, our sorrows, as well as our joy and blessings to encourage others both to come to salvation as well as to disciple those who have already trusted him. The Lord wants us to share the joy and peace we have found that only comes through him in spite of the difficulties of life. I want to encourage you to pray about stepping outside your comfort zone, to be so totally surrounded by a team of people who love and worship the Lord morning, noon, and night, and to be actively obedient to God's great commission fills one's heart with great joy and an even greater longing to stay in that place of beauty and peace. I encourage you to pray now about joining the team on our next trip to share the gospel in Uganda. You do not need special skills, but you do need a willing and obedient heart and a continual trust in the Lord's provision and majesty. I thank you for allowing me to share today. God is good. Amen.
There was one picture I wanted to just point out before I give you a little bit of my own testimony is on the slideshow that Rachel put together. It was one picture where the team was all around some words on a wall that said Diana's Garden. That's the memorial that the children at Luanda put up for our own Diana Solheim, who was here in the first service, who was the nurse there at the health clinic for a couple of years before she had to come home because of an illness of her own. So it's a wonderful thing to see how, yes, we're talking about a lot about church planting, but we as Grace have been involved in a number of other ways as well. So we just wanted to appreciate Diana, and of course you all know her, and we do. When we go to Uganda, one of the things that we do is, or East Africa, one of the things we do is we make team T-shirts, these things like this. One of the reasons we do that is because when you get in crowded airports, it's easier to recognize where the team is, especially if you have a large team, so you can kind of pick out, oh, there they are, let's get everybody back together. One of the other reasons we do that is because it's an opportunity for other people to ask us, what are you doing? We see the verse on the back of your shirt. We see Uganda 2012, what are you up to? And it gives us a chance to share. We've had a lot of interesting opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk about ministry, even before we land in Uganda. Our mission trip starts the minute we hit George Bush Intercontinental Airport, and it doesn't stop till we get back to George Bush Intercontinental Airport. So I wanted to share a bit about something that happened on the trip. On our way over from Houston to Amsterdam, we flew over with a group, an older group that was going to do a river cruise on one of the rivers of Europe. So that group went over. They left, of course, in Amsterdam. We went on to Entebbe, and they did their river cruise. Well, on our way back in Amsterdam, we met one of these individuals again. As she started talking to, I believe initially it was myself and Fred Pettigrew, we found out that her husband had died while they were on vacation on the river cruise. So the company had done a good job to sort of get all that together and help her send her husband back. She was coming back early and happened to be on our flight coming back from Amsterdam to Houston. She recognized our shirts again. So she stopped to talk to us. We found out that her husband had died. And on the plane trip back, we had an opportunity, each member of the team had an opportunity to go and pray with her, spend several minutes, maybe up to 15 in some cases. I think Pastor Dave spent the longest as he was getting some details. She's a member of Oak Hill Methodist Church in Austin. She was headed back. Her family is going to meet her there. But she was overwhelmed by the fact that at 35,000 feet in the air, people were coming by on a periodic basis, praying with her, encouraging her, talking with her. And she could see the body of Christ at work no matter where she was. And while we were doing that, people around her actually started noticing what was going on and started praying with her and asking her about her, what was happening. One of the stewardesses, KLM stewardesses, identified herself as a Christian and talked to Scott and I, then eventually went and talked with the woman as well. So it's amazing how the body of Christ can come together and pray for one another and encourage one another, even in circumstances that you might not have imagined would happen. So thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Sharon Bemis. This is my fourth year, and I really felt like I wasn't going to go. Even to the very last minute, I felt like I'm really not going to go. But then I found myself sitting on the airplane going to Uganda, and I figured, I think I'm going. One of the highlights of the trip for me was on, I think it was Wednesday, Scott and I were heading up the children's ministry, and Scott did a great job of reading this passage. We were talking about the passage where Jesus and the disciples were in the boat and the storm came up, and we talked to the kids about helping us act it out, and they were really good and about acting it out. They really got excited about that. It was neat to see the kids. They're very obedient. The kids are just really, really obedient. They listen very well. And the other thing was, I was really struggling one night when I couldn't sleep, and I was praying, and it occurred to me that I was having a difficult time with, I think the enemy was just working on me a lot. We're going out and telling people about the gospel and telling them it's about grace, by grace and grace alone you are saved. And yet that night I was really struggling with, do I really believe that? And I do, but I felt like that night I was just really struggling with that, and the enemy was just, I think, just having a really good time with me. I just prayed, and God reminded me of scriptures about how he says, if I am for you, who can be against you? And other passages that I remembered, and that helped me get through it. And then there was one kind of scary moment in the whole thing, and that was being trapped in the toilet. The door wouldn't open, and I couldn't get out. And I was banging on the door, and nobody heard me. And so I had to do a Chuck Norris and kick the door open. I got out. So that's it. Thank you. God is good.
Well, whenever you do something for the first time, there's always certain expectations you have. And when it's all getting started, there's surprises. And this is my first time. I'm Dave Hodges, the pastor here. And this is my first trip to East Africa for missions. And I had all sorts of expectations. I mean, I'm thinking there's going to be creepy crawlies all over the place, snakes dropping out of trees when I'm walking under, spiders the size of, you know, your hand, and ugly bugs, and also mosquitoes. I mean, I had so much DEET, it was ridiculous. I had 3 containers of mosquito spray, and we get away, I'm not seeing it. There's more mosquitoes here in Texas. And not only that, but I didn't see any big spiders, no snakes. You look at the countryside, you're thinking there's got to be jaguars and leopards all over. It was amazing how safe it was there, and I wasn't expecting that. So that expectation was shattered pretty quickly, but there was also a lot of other little surprises. I really didn't expect it to be that beautiful. If you saw some of those pictures we had up there, folks, that place is like the Garden of Eden. In fact, that was my intro to this. Folks, when I'd sit down in their hut, I'd tell them how beautiful their country was and how beautiful, they're a beautiful people, handsome people, but their country is lush and green and gorgeous. And I was not expecting it to be so beautiful. I mean, as we're driving along these roads, I'd call them not roads, but as you're driving along, my face was always looking outside because everything you just were taking in, it was gorgeous. So that was a real surprise. There was also plenty of good food. I'm thinking we're going to get over there and you're going to be eating, you know, fried ants and stuff. And we ate really well. You saw one picture of a plate there, but my goodness, the concern you had was not to stuff yourself too much. I had a thing of Tums by my bed every night because I was gorging myself on those good dinners. And we're all looking for a couple of soft drinks, one called Navita, and that was some good stuff. We all got hooked on that over there. So the food was great. I wasn't expecting that. I was also surprised by just the warm reception. You know, Americans aren't the most popular people in the world right now. And there's a lot of countries you go to and they're not one bit interested in it. But I tell you, you go there and you're going to see smiles like Cheshire cats when they see you. In fact, you could drive by on the bus and 30, 40 yards away, somebody go, Mzungus! And they would, and they smiled like you just made their whole year. You're very, very popular over there as an American. And so it was real exciting to be able to see that kind of a response when you don't get that in most of the world. So that was a surprise. Another surprise for me was the unbelievable openness to the gospel. You know, we would walk into those little villages with our translators, and they'd immediately run out there. They'd have us sit in the only chairs they'd have. They'd pull out these little chairs, and then they'd all sit in the dirt and listen to you, spellbound. And 90% of the time, they'd respond with the gospel when you shared the gospel to them. They wanted to accept Jesus into their lives. And that type of openness was surprising. I knew they'd be more open, but I wasn't expecting that. So that was really, really special to be around that. The other surprise for me was this, and I guess it's not a surprise, and that is that when you go to a third world country, you expect to come home with a greater appreciation for all the blessings you have in your country. And you will. You're going to come back and go, my goodness, we got it good here. But I never expected one of my greatest fondnesses would be now for TxDOT. Those roads are incredible over there. I've bellyached and complained and talked to local commissioners about 359 down here. And I tell you what, you go to Africa and you come back, you don't care about what's going on down there. That is just fine how they're doing down there at that intersection, how long it's taken. So that was a real surprise. I never thought I'd come back with a huge fondness for TxDOT. But I also came back with a huge fondness for just the Ugandan people. They are loving, warm, receptive people that are thrilled you're there and will give you every ounce of their attention. And it made it real easy to minister to them. God's good.
As you can tell by several of the slides and videos, they love to sing and dance. And we enjoyed it with them a lot, too. Now, I've got to commend the translators over there that are trying to work with us. Of course, they're multilingual, you know, maybe, you know, two or three languages and certain dialects and what have you, and they do really well to translate Texan. We try to slow things down a little while we're there to help them. Just as you've heard so many testimonies, how we've all experienced different things, learned new things, and it's just about trusting God wherever you are, however he taps you on the shoulder. I know there's so many venues going on in this little church. Trust him and step up wherever he wants you to fill in, because the body of Christ has got so many parts, and some do this, some do that. Step up and be blessed. So I also have a little letter from one of the children that came from the children's home. There was John and Faith Grace came last January to visit for a while with Morris and Ida. John sends a letter. Dear Grace Community Bible Church members, how is everybody? I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am sending this letter to thank you for allowing some of your church members to come and visit us. We were glad and happy to receive them. I remember when Pastor Morris was preaching, he said, "How will they know me if someone has not preached to them? And how will they know if someone is not sent?" But you have done exactly what the pastor said by sending your church members to allow your church members to show the love of God to Ugandans. You are a blessing to Luanda's children's home and other Ugandans. Thank you for your love and support you have given to us. It is the best thing you will ever do for us. We pray that God would reward you abundantly. We wish you a happy new year. May God bless you. Love, John Mutsoshi, Luanda's Children's Home. God is good.
Well, I just want to reiterate the notion of thanks, how grateful we are for each of you. Obviously, when we got there, we felt the soil was well prepared, so all the prayers that you offered up were answered. Also, your financial giving made this possible. I mean, in truth, you know, we were successful because a bunch of you stayed behind. What you did is you guys gave sacrificially, and you prayed and prayed and prayed. We didn't have any serious sickness. We had no baggage loss. We had no problem. It was really smooth, and it went well. And the harvest was not only plentiful, but it was reaped, folks. It was reaped. So we just want to thank you so much for that. Romans 10 was alluded to in that letter by John. Verses 14 and through 16 talk about the importance of sending out those to speak the message, because you can't understand if you haven't heard it. And also, there's a quote from Isaiah 52 there, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things." And it was exciting to be able to take the best message there is on this planet to a people that was ready for it, excited about it, and received it the way they did. And y'all made it possible, and I want you just to know how much we as a group appreciate all your support. I'm going to ask y'all to stand at this time. And let's all go to the Lord in prayer, all right? Lord, we are grateful. We are so grateful for the way you allowed us to go over as a team that represents this church. We're thankful for the participation of the people with their giving and their prayers. We're thankful for the safety we enjoyed. We're thankful for the lack of sickness. And we're thankful that the people, when they heard the message, they received it for what it really was, and that was the Word of God. We're thankful for all the people that came to Christ. We're thankful that there's a church building now there and a house for that pastor. And he has a library, and it's because of the people here and their giving and responding to you. Our prayer, Lord, is for the unity of that church. There's a pastor there with a couple hundred brand new believers, and that's ripe for disunity. And our prayer is that you'd help him to have wisdom as he selects elders and deacons and gets that church organized. Help him to know how to minister and have wisdom as he deals with problems as they arise. And our prayer is just for them to be able to be unified as a young church and to be able to reach out to their community. And Lord, we do also pray just for you to help them to overcome the slander of other churches and people who were telling all sorts of wrong and false things about our group and our motives. May people see through those lies and be encouraged by the truth. Thank you again for allowing us to participate with you in this great endeavor to reach the lost. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.